Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys coming up on this Tuesday. We're talking a little bit of everything. Our guy Johnny Lazarus standing by, going to get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final, the rematch between Edmonton and Florida. We also got a loaded Major League Baseball slate today. Ton of plays we'll give out during the show. And it is a teed up Tuesday. We got the RBC Canadian Open this week out in Toronto. We'll give out some golfers that we like this week, teeing it up at the RBC. Nick Kenyon going to join us later on in the show as well. He gives out some of his favorite golfers that he likes this week. And then we wrap the show with our favorite plays of the day. Any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. Tell us all your favorite baseball plays, any plays you got in golf, the NBA Finals, and of course, the Stanley Cup Final as well. And if you miss any part of the show, make sure you guys check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Johnny Lazarus, who joins us. Give Johnny a follow on X at JLazzy23, host for the NHL and Daily Faceoff. Johnny, always great having you on, man. We got a rematch from last year's Stanley Cup Final between Edmonton and Florida. Which team are you more surprised is back here? Are you more surprised Florida got back to the final for the third straight year, or that Edmonton was able to get back?
Well, I had both teams losing in the first round, so I think it's fair to say both. But I would say the Oilers more so, just because they were down 2-0 to LA. They looked like they were dead in the water. Kings have a one-goal lead in the last minute of Game 3, and they blow it and then lose in overtime. Was that overtime? Yeah, I think it was overtime. But yeah, I mean, I thought the Oilers were done after the first two games of the first round, and the fact that they've gotten here, you know, with the way their goaltending has gone too. Stuart Skinner gets pulled after Game 2. Calvin Pickard comes in and wins 6 straight. Then he gets hurt. Stuart Skinner comes back in. He looks good. They win in 5 games against Vegas. They win in 5 against Dallas. I mean, it's just been a crazy roller coaster of emotion for the Edmonton Oilers to get to this point. And yeah, I'd say they're the bigger surprise by far.
What do you think's the key factors for this series? Edmonton is going to win and hoist the cup if they do what, you think? And then Florida is going to repeat if they do what in this series?
Well, 5-on-5, I think both teams are a little bit more even than they may have been last year. That said, Florida's power play, I think, is the concern in this series so far. Edmonton's power play and PK has been, well, PK hasn't been as good, but the power play has been, you know, pretty dynamic throughout the entire playoffs. The PK was very weak in round one. But Edmonton's PK should be able to shut down Florida's power play. And then at the end of the day, it's the goaltending and the special teams that really get a team, you know, over the hump. So, the way Sergei Bobrovsky's been playing, he's been good. He hasn't been as unbelievable as he was last year. Stuart Skinner, when he's on his game, he's probably been better than Bobrovsky. I don't even know if that's a stretch to say. But the only issue with Edmonton's goaltending is that you don't know what Stuart Skinner you're going to get. So the inconsistency in net for Edmonton is a concern on their end. But right now, I still think it's harder to bet against Florida than it is against Edmonton. Obviously, it feels like McDavid and Draisaitl's time to get it done. But what we've seen throughout the playoffs, and granted, since, you know, the first two games, Edmonton's been pretty sound and pretty consistent. There's just always that fear in the back of your mind that we might see that sloppy Oilers team that we have seen at certain points this year, where Florida has been pretty steady the entire way. So I do like the Panthers, but my heart does want the Oilers.
Any X factors in this series, Johnny, like outside of the superstars, right? You got McDavid and Draisaitl, you got Tkachuk, you got Bobrovsky, as you mentioned. I remember when you were on, we were talking about the Four Nations. You talked about Marchand for Canada. Yep. All the superstars on both sides, you said he was a guy. Anybody in this series that comes to mind flying under the radar you think could end up making a big impact?
Well, it's the third line for Florida. It's all three of those players. You can't really pick one. It's, you know, everyone's talking about the depth between the two teams right now, and I think Florida's third line between Lindell, Lusterine, and Marchand, who you just mentioned, PJ, like those guys are the difference makers. They were the best line in the second round against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Marchand actually led the entire playoffs in points in that round, and he's a guy that they brought at the deadline for this exact purpose, for this reason. Marchand's been a top six player, power play guy his whole career, or for the most parts of his career, but he was brought in here to be that impactful third line player that helps you win a Stanley Cup. And he, alongside Lusterainen and Lindell, like, you know, those guys each have double digit in points in the playoffs, where you don't really see that all the time from a third line. And to me, Edmonton stopping those three is going to be a huge problem, and I think they're the X factor, a difference maker for Florida.
Johnny, whenever we get series like this in any sports, I always like thinking about if one side is correlated with the total, right? Because the perception around these two teams, you think Edmonton, you think offense. You think Florida, think a little bit more defense, a little bit more goaltending. In this series, do you think if we see Edmonton win, maybe we bet the over? If we see Florida, maybe the under, or not necessarily so? Because as you mentioned, Skinner's been playing really well for the Oilers, and the Panthers obviously been winning some shootouts as well.
Well, for the most part, I feel like that was the case last year. Every game the Oilers won was an over or high scoring, and I think for the most part, the games the Panthers won were pretty much low scoring games. Maybe game four was a different case, or game three was a different case. Mm-hmm. I think game three was a 4-3 final, so maybe that one was an over. But everything else, you know, to your point, it was hand in hand. So I don't know if, like, history doesn't always repeat itself, right? So I don't know if that's going to be the case this time around. Goaltending was a bit more of a concern last year for Edmonton than it is this year for the Oilers. You know, it's the same guy in net, but he's been playing so much better this time around. So I don't want to necessarily say it's automatic that those will go hand in hand, but the Oilers have won games 2-1, 3-2. Like, they've been able to win games in low-scoring fashion. So last year I would have said probably more likely than this year. And with that, I think Edmonton, you know, they could come out and win the low-scoring games like they haven't in recent history.
We're talking with Johnny Lazarus here on Send It In. Give Johnny a follow on X at JLazzy23. All right, Johnny, let's look at the Conn Smythe market. And this was really interesting last year, right? Florida wins the Cup. McDavid wins Conn Smythe. Not often you get a player winning Conn Smythe on a losing team. He's the favorite again to win Conn Smythe this year. Who do you like in that market to win the award?
Well, for a sleeper, I'm looking at a guy like Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett actually leads the entire playoffs in goals with 10. He has 16 points in 17 games. He's been a super impactful player for the Panthers the entire postseason, and I think he's, you know, another one of those guys who could be considered an X factor, even though he is kind of a bigger, I don't want to say maybe a bigger name, but he's certainly a player that gets talked about night in, night out, just with you know, what he does for this Panthers team. He's an upcoming free agent, so a lot of talks with him surrounding his next contract and where he'll sign as well. But Sam Bennett, to me, like, he could be the guy that actually leads this series in points. He's capable of that. He has that much talent. I believe he's like plus 2,800 to win the Conn Smythe right now. And if Florida wins, to me, there's no clear-cut guy on Florida who has the edge right now. Like, Barkov's been playing great. Bennett's been playing great. Tkachuk's been good. And Bobrovsky's been good. But I would actually say that Bennett, in my opinion, has been the best player consistently throughout the playoffs for Florida. So if I'm picking the Panthers to win the Cup, I'm picking Sam Bennett to win the Conn Smythe.
30-1, Johnny, to win Conn Smythe. As you mentioned, some pretty good odds on that if you like Florida. Who do you like in game one tomorrow? Edmonton, a favorite at home, minus 130, total 6. Who do you think takes game one?
I do like the Panthers. You know, both teams have had a pretty significant layoff. I don't think either team has the edge as far as rest goes, but being that Edmonton is on home ice in game one, knowing that you know, the pressure is mostly on them in this series. Florida's obviously won it. They won a cup last year. They've been to now three straight Stanley Cup finals. And obviously those guys all do want to win it. But Edmonton knows, like, we haven't won. This is our chance. And you want to set a good standard for the series in game one. And sometimes Florida, the way they play, they smell blood in the water, they attack, and there's nobody better than them in the NHL at that. So for me, the Panthers come out and surprise on the road in game one, and I think they take the series in six games.
All right, love it. There you go. You like the Panthers in six games. Do you think that McDavid, if he doesn't win the Cup this year, Johnny, do you think he's ever going to get it? Do you think at some point in his career, or this is going to be his best chance to get his Cup?
I do. I have a hard time saying he'll never win a Cup. And, you know, it's easy to say this is his best chance, but, you know, last year they played in a winner-take-all Game 7. Like, that right. felt like it, right? Like, it's not going to get any closer than that. With that said, this year, Edmonton having home ice, the playoffs not being as emotional as it was last year. Like, it's been very more businesslike for the Oilers this time around, knowing what it's like having gone through it last year. So obviously a great opportunity in front of Connor McDavid and the Oilers right now. But if it doesn't happen this year, I think it still will happen at some point. I don't know if it'll happen in Edmonton, but it'll happen somewhere.
There you go. Johnny Lazarus, always great having him join us, previewing the Stanley Cup Final, the rematch between Edmonton and Florida. Make sure you guys are following Johnny on X at JLazzy23, host of the NHL and Daily Faceoff as well. Johnny, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the Cup Final.
Thanks, PJ. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. You too. All right, guys. Let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. See, we got some questions coming in on the chat. B-Mills, I love that you know it's a Tuesday. We're going to talk some golf. We'll get to your question a little bit later on, some baseball as well. Reed, you got a great question, though, in the chat. Every market in both the NBA and NHL feel locked in. Are there any creative ways to bet these series? It's true, right? We've had a long layoff for both. We're still waiting for both of these series to start. NHL tomorrow, NBA on Thursday. We're going to focus on the NHL today. Stanley Cup Final, we'll look at the NBA tomorrow. And Reed, the way that I'm betting this series and the way that I'm betting at the NBA, our friends at BetMGM, a great special that I absolutely love because I like both underdogs in game one to win outright, but then I like the home teams and the favorites to win the series. So at BetMGM, if you like the Panthers to win game one, but the Oilers to win the series, that's plus 400. Like, what a great price that is. Because think about it right now. Edmonton's minus 125 to win the series, right? And Florida's plus 110 to win game one. Let's say Edmonton loses game one. They go from minus 125 to probably like plus 160, plus 170. Even if they lose game one, they certainly can come back and win the series. I just think that's a great price. Bet Florida, game one, Edmonton to win the series, plus 400. It's a BetMGM special. I think those are the creative ways that I would look to bet these series. I think that's where the value is. If you like these underdogs to win outright in game one, don't bet the outright on the price, and then you like the favorite to win the series. Don't just bet the underdog to win game one outright. Bet that special. Bet them to win game one and then the Thunder or the Oilers to win the series. I think it's great for this series. Again, because the swing, certainly Edmonton's going to become the underdog if they lose game one for the series price, but they're going to be like a plus 150, plus 160. They're certainly not going to be plus 400 heading into game two, so. And even if they lose game two, I don't know if they're still going to even be plus 400. Maybe they will, maybe like plus 350 or something like that. I just think that's a great price. So that's the way I would bet these series. Because now that we've had so many days to preview them, like you said, really no angle, really no edge. At this point, the lines are so sharp. We've had so many games, not only regular season, but postseason on all these teams. I think those specials are the way to go. So I love that. Florida to win game one, Edmonton to win the series, plus 400 at BetMGM. Some other things that I like as well for tomorrow, I just like Florida to win game one. I really do, plus 110. For everything that Johnny was saying, right? Game one, long layoff, all the pressure on Edmonton. They're at home. But guys, look, I mean, when I'm a believer in this. I've talked about this a ton on the show, especially when you have a rematch in a championship game and you're trying to beat the team that beat you last year. Like, it's not going to be easy. Edmonton's not going to sweep Florida. They're not going to win this series in five games. They're going to be trailing at some point in this series, whether they're down 0-1 or whether they're down 2-1 or maybe they're down 3-2, whatever it is. I think they're going to be trailing at some point in this series, and I think they're going to be trailing after game one. I think right now we're pretty split amongst perception on who thinks going to win this series. I think after game one, though, I like Florida to win, and then the conversation heading into Thursday morning is going to be, Why do we doubt Florida? Why do we bet against this team? They're giving us Florida's underdogs. Why do we continue to not bet them? And then that's when we jump on the Oilers. I think they're the better team this year around. This is the best goaltending that McDavid and Draisaitl have had throughout a postseason run, and I think that's finally what's going to get them over the hump. So I like Florida game one, Edmonton to win the series. I think they win the cup. I like Stort Skinner to win the Conn Smythe at 35-1. I think that's a silly price. If you like Florida, I think Johnny made a great case for Sam Bennett. Certainly at that price, at 30-1. Kachuk is not healthy. He's not his normal self. Barkov's a terrific player, but I don't know if he's going to rack up the points in this series playing on that first line with Kachuk to get him Conn Smythe. And Bobrovsky at plus 250, I just think there's real no value in that. The fact that one goalie in this series is plus 250 and the other goalie in this series is 35-1, I think Skinner is the play for Edmonton if you're looking for somebody outside of McDavid or Draisaitl. So those are some of the plays that I like in Oilers and Panthers. All right, let's talk some baseball here on Send It In. B Mills, you like James Wood, two or more hits, runs, and RBIs today. TJ Friedel, two or more hits, RBIs today. Angels first five team total over 2.5 at plus money, and Pablo Lopez under 6.5 Ks against the A's. Pablo Lopez, look, I like, right? We're batting out in Sacramento. Ball's going to be flying a lot of runs like there were last night. A's, we know, their lineup, they make contact. They really don't strike out all that much. I think that is a good look. Angels, the first five team total over. I like that as well. We got an over in that game yesterday. Think we could get another over today. Kikuchi with a lot, obviously with a lot of years in the AL East with the Blue Jays. Red Sox know him well. Brian Bayo, look to fade him. I think some regression's coming. And the Angels are swinging, they're swinging the bat pretty well. So I think that's a good look. First five team total over there. James Wood's one of the hottest players in baseball. So I think that's a great play against Cade Horton tonight for the Cubs. So I like all that. I think those are good plays, B-Mills. Rockies and Marlins. We're going to take the Marlins tonight on the money line. I think they're a good money line parlay piece. Really, the handicap in this is that the Rockies won yesterday, and history, odds tell us they're probably not going to win again today because they're like 10-52 on the season or whatever it is. So Rockies won their game yesterday. Even though Sandy Alcantara has not been good for the Marlins this season, I think they bounce back and they get the win. Astros and Pirates in Pittsburgh today. Paul Skeens going up against Lance McCullers. The Pirates are a minus 160 favorite today against the Astros. That line stinks. They are begging you to take Houston today on the money line. We've seen some of these lines when Skeens starts at home. I'm just going to take Pittsburgh in the first five, -0.5. I don't want to mess around with the bullpens late in the game. Maybe Houston gets his pitch count up. I'll just take him first five with Skeens on the mound and then get out of there. Cubs and Nationals, B-Mills, you mentioned your James Wood play. I just like the over in this game, over 9.5. We know how great the Cubs offense has been this season. Nationals offense is on a little bit of a heater right now, too. Not a great pitching matchup. Cade Horton against Mitchell Parker. I'll go over 9.5 in Nats and Cubbies. Guardians and Yankees today. Carlos Rodon on the mound for the Yankees. I'm going to take them on the run line at minus 110. Yankees, best team in the American League. Rodon's been really good for them so far this season. He's been really good in night games. He's been really good pitching in the Bronx. So I'll take the Yanks on the run line, -1.5. Give me the Blue Jays today on the money line against Christopher Sanchez. You got Bowden Francis on the mound. There's some sharp money coming in on Toronto, though. This money line continues to drop and drop and drop. Blue Jays now plus 110. I'll follow the money and take Toronto. Angels and Red Sox, talked about the Kikuchi play. I think we need to get another over in that one as well. Brewers and Reds, Milwaukee's won 8 straight games, yet they're underdogs today on the road in Cincinnati, taking on Hunter Green and the Reds. Give me the Reds to snap that winning streak for the Brewers. D-backs and Braves in Atlanta. I mean, terrific pitching matchup when you look at the names between Zach Gallen and Spencer Strider. Neither pitcher has been all that great. Strider's working his way back from injury, still trying to find it. Gallen has not been good so far this season. That's why the total is as high as it is at 9, and I think rightfully so. I like the over in that game as well. Rangers and Rays tonight. I'm taking the first five under 4 runs. 2 pitchers that not a lot of people have heard of, but are having terrific seasons. Tyler Molly for the Rangers, and then Drew Rasmussen for Tampa, both having outstanding years. I'll take the first five under 4 runs in that game. Tigers and White Sox, nothing for me in this one. I think Detroit is playing with a little fire, though. Scooble was supposed to start today, but because they're playing the White Sox, they decided to move him to Friday instead, and now they're probably going to go with an opener, or they're just going to wing it who they're going to start today. It's playing with fire. When teams do that, it normally doesn't work out for them. I'd actually look at the White Sox today on the money line. They got Shane Smith pitching, who's been pretty good for them so far this season. Royals and Cardinals in St. Louis, I'm going to pass on that one. Orioles and Mariners in Seattle. George Kirby on the mound for the M's. You guys know I'm an Orioles fan. Last year, George Kirby in Seattle against the Orioles pitched 9 shutout innings. He might have another great start again today. Orioles team total under 3.5 runs. Absolutely love that bet today. Also, Adley Rutschman not to record a hit, plus 155. Grab that as well. Padres and Giants, going to pass on that one. Twins and Athletics, I like your Lopez play, B Mills. And then Mets and Dodgers. Mets won last night in extras. I think the Dodgers get them back tonight, so I'll take LA minus 145. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM, and MLB No Sweat Home Run Token. Don't worry if your home run bet doesn't clear the fences. BetMGM has your back with an MLB Home Run No Sweat Token. Just activate your token on an MLB Home Run bet. If your bet comes up short, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets. All right, Sean, let's actually check in with Nick Henion, our guy who's standing by on the Glasser guest line, and then we will preview afterwards, get to our Teed Up Tuesday. Want to hear what Nick has to say. We're usually aligned on things. We got the RBC Canadian Open this week out in Toronto. And Nick, they like moving this event on us, right, throughout the country. They move it into different courses. We got another new one this week, TPC Toronto. What can you tell us about it? Who are some golfers that we're looking for?
Hey, PJ, good to be with you as always. Look, it's a long par 70 here. There's actually probably going to play a little bit longer than the scorecard actually suggests, because there are two very short par threes that contribute to this just under 7,400 yards here. But there's a lot of length contained in the par fours. 12 of them on course this week. 6 of them measure over 480 yards. 4 of those 6 are over 500 yards. So you're really going to need some guys who can vomit off the tee and give themselves some chances with their long irons from the fairway. One thing I don't really know, because it's a new course, is how penal the rough is going to be. Usually these TPC setups don't really penalize you for errant misses off the tee. So I'm going to put a lot more weight into driving distance this week. From there, I want guys that are good approach players. And then I also looked at strokes game putting too. If my suspicions are right, I think you can see this play kind of like Memorial Park a few weeks ago for the Houston Open, where we saw Min Woo win just by bombing it and making a ton of putts. My suspicion is this course might play a little similar, so I'm looking at guys that can also roll with the flat stick and get hot with the putter.
Nick, I think everybody's just excited Scottie Scheffler's not teeing it up this week, so maybe we can hit an outright that's not him, right? The problem is Rory's in the field. He's had a pretty good year, and on paper, this course looks like it's tailor-made for Rory. You just said you want guys who hit it long off the tee and got a hot putter. I mean, that's Rory. Did you do anything with him this week to win? Top five, any parlays, anything with Rory?
Nothing for me on Rory. I won't fault anyone who wants to take a top five position at minus 110 or even to win, because you are seeing some decent strength in the field because you're getting guys like Ludvig and Shane Lowry here in Canada. You're kind of seeing a rise in price on Rory. The one thing I'll look at, and for me, it's more about a fact-finding mission on Rory as far as how I want to approach betting him at Oakmont next week, because his irons have not really been good since his Masters win, and I want to see if that kind of turns around before I consider how I want to play him at Oakmont, if at all. So no bet for me on Rory, and I think there's just like, it makes sense that he's a big favorite here, but one thing of note, 48th in the field in par four efficiency on holes over 500 yards over his last 24 rounds. Now, I'm obliged to mention those come at some pretty difficult courses, so I don't know if these holes play easier compared to those last set of rounds, but that's enough of a concern that it just kept me off of him this week.
Makes sense. All right, so no Rory for you this week, Nick. Who are some golfers that you like this week?
start with Keith Mitchell at 40-1. So I mentioned the Texas correlations here. In addition to Memorial Park, I think TPC San Antonio could be a good comp here. Mitchell produced two really strong results at both of those courses, and he's gained with the putter in six straight starts. He ballooned to over five strokes putting in his last start at Colonial, and over his last 24 rounds, he's 12th in both strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained approach, plus distance as well. Big hitter off the tee. Top 20 finish in three of his previous five starts, two top 10s in his last three starts in Canada. So he is familiar with the agronomical shape of these courses. So I do like Keith Mitchell. And then I don't love the price, but Harry Hall at 40-1 jumped out at me. The putting record is really good right now. Plus 3.2 or better in three straight and four of his last five starts. 18th at Memorial Park, that correlated course that I mentioned, and he spiked on tee to green in half of his previous four starts. He has not been able to put it all together as far as both ball striking and putter working for the week, but if he's able to do that, I think you could see him contend in Canada. One more note, last 24 rounds, 5th and 11th, respectively, in par 4 efficiency between 400 yards and 450, and then over 500 yards. So I think you could see Harry Hall with another strong finish this week.
Very good. Nick, you brought up Oakmont, right? We got the U.S. Open next week. I know you like DeChambeau. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Have you added anything else?
Oh, not DeChambeau. Rahm, my guy.
John Rahm. You like Rombo at Oakmont. Anybody else? My apologies. Anybody else at Oakmont that you like?
So I decided today I'm going to bet Scotty. I'm going to look, call me a square all you want. I found this stat today to be very surprising, and I think it adds context to just how dominant Scotty is playing right now. So if you look at the last 3 months span, Scotty has gained 92.4 strokes from tee to green. He has gained more than 2.5 strokes per round in 53% of his rounds. Second place Shane Lowry is at 38% for those rounds, but the biggest difference is from the tee to green standpoint. So Scotty leads second place Tommy Fleetwood over that 3 month span from a strokes gained tee to green standpoint by as big of a gap as between Fleetwood and 81st place Matthias Schmid over the 3 month span. Now, that does not include players like Bryson or John Rahm, but Bryson has not looked good with his irons recently, and I think he doesn't chip very well on these very firm and fast greens. We know the Oakmont greens are going to be lightning quick, so if DeChambeau isn't good with his irons, a la Quail Hollow, a la Augusta National, I'm not sure he can get himself out of trouble with the short game like he normally does. So I think Scottie Scheffler, I hate to say it, it's going to be boring, but I think you see him really run away with it next week at Oakmont.
There you go. I mean, Oakmont's going to be a beast, and Scotty right now is certainly playing like the guy that we saw last season. Nick Kenyon joining us here on Send It In. Give Nick a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, good luck this week at the RBC, my friend. We'll talk U.S. Open next week. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Real quick, now let's do our own version of Tee It Up Tuesday as we talk about the RBC Canadian Open. So as Nick was talking about, this course is a beast. It's long. Par 70, 7,389 yards. This is actually the seventh longest course that the PGA Tour has played since 2018. The rough really isn't all that bad. The fairways are pretty big, so you just want bombers, right? Guys that can bomb it out there and don't have these crazy long irons into a bunch of these long par fours are going to have a big advantage. So Rory makes a lot of sense. I like his top five this week at minus 110. If you want to bet him outright at plus 450, I think it makes a lot of sense as well. Rory's played in this event a lot, so you don't worry about him really looking ahead to the U.S. Open as maybe some other guys will and just getting ready for that week. He's coming to Canada. He's committed, right? He skipped Jack's tournament last week where he could have played there and could have missed this week, but he decided to play in this one instead because he loves playing out here in Canada. Whatever the course is, he normally plays well. So I like Rory plus 450, and I love the top five price at minus 110. Taylor Pendrith, B-Mills, I see you mentioned his name. It's going to be extremely popular this week, which is making me a little bit nervous, but it makes a ton of sense. Pendrith tied for fifth at the PGA, tied for 12th last week at Memorial. He was second in strokes gained tee to green behind Scheffler. He's from Canada. Most course history of any player in this field. He's played here a bunch. So makes a lot of sense why people like Pendrith. I saw you mention Kitayama as well. Think he could be a good look. Again, another long guy off the tee, which is what you're looking for this week. And a couple of long shots that I like. Gary Woodland at 60-1 and Alex Smalley at 66-1. Pretty much the same handicap. Gary Woodland and Alex Smalley, both good history in Canada, both long off the tee, good with their long irons, and just both in pretty decent form as of right now. Not the best form, that's why there's some pretty long prices, but I like the fact they're long off the tee. They're good long iron players, and they've had good success at these Canadian Opens before. So Rory, Taylor Pendrith, Gary Woodland, Alex Smalley, some golfers that I would look at this week at the RBC Canadian Open. Let's wrap everything up now with our favorite plays of the day. Going streaking, give me Rob Refsnyder tonight of the Red Sox to get a base hit against the Angels against Kikuchi. Refsnyder, one of the best right-handed hitters against left-handed pitching in all of baseball. He's 5-11 in his career against Kikuchi. So give me Rob Refsnyder to get a base hit. Prop lock, Stort Skinner to win Conn Smythe at 35-1. I told you guys, think this price is insane. Like Skinner to win the Conn Smythe. I like the Oilers to win the Cup. Dog of the day, the Nats, plus 125 against the Cubbies. You got Cade Horton going up against Trevor Williams. I think the Nats are going to win the game outright. I told you guys I like the over. I like the Nats as well. And then Orioles team total under 3.5 runs going up against George Kirby. Big mismatch. O's score 2 runs tonight at most. I'll take team total under 3.5. Thanks again to Johnny Lazarus and Nick Kenyon for joining the show today. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.